conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
I love a guy with facial hair because I'm always a beard.
I might be dead inside, but you should come to Housewives Live.
Oh, that was really good.
Thank you.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's F118, which feels like a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it feels like, but it feels like something. I'm so excited. I just realized I didn't like check the audio, but it's fine. I'm so excited to be joined by none other than honorary OG of the AG. I forgot what that phrase was. Ryan Houlihan, help me. My life is falling
apart. I feel like
apart.
The Shannon Bedore of this podcast where sometimes you remember that she only joined in like season 7 or whatever. And you're like, what? I feel like I've known this woman since the dawn of time.
Shannon, Dorinda, sometimes Margaret.
Sonia is not an OG.
Sonia, season 3.
It's wild.
It's crazy that Kelly joined New York before Sonia.
It's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Oh, bizarre. And it's crazy that like, Carol was on longer than Jill Zarin because it didn't feel like we knew Carol as long as we knew Jill.
Speaking of Jill Zarin,
Speaking of Jill
yesterday,
Zarin. Speaking of Jill Zarin.
The best day of my entire life. When Jill Zarin followed me on Instagram, which I immediately put as an Insta story, because all of my Insta stories are just nonstop Real Housewives C-SPAN. Like, literally, if there's something that you guys are like, why didn't she talk about that on the pod? It's because I'm 1,000% talked about it for like 15 Insta stories on the IG. But I posted like a, I think it was like Sound of Music to like a screenshot of her following me. And then I got really red by several people who said, you don't follow her. And I realized I don't follow Jill. For several of these housewives, I don't follow them because it doesn't matter, because I'm checking their shit like every 30 seconds. So I immediately followed her and was like, I love you. But I felt really dumb.
I only follow people that I know in real life or who followed me. And then I look at them and I'm like, oh, I know them from X, Y, and Z. I'll follow you.
You only follow people that you know. I follow like the randomest.
I had to stop.
Photos that are pretty from travelers from 1973. Like, it's just
I had to stop. It was polluting my brain to have like the best parts of people's lives who are of means and in a situation I would never be in and are so attractive. And they're just like on a beach doing like sex work to travel around the world. And they're like, I can't
living the dream. By
living
the way,
the dream. Oh, I can't only do that anymore. So I had to just get it all in my life, and then
I start doing that.
I'll check housewives or certain celebrities regularly, but I won't follow it just because I don't need it in my brain. Like, I will look up Bethany or whatever, but I won't.
But you don't follow her. Mm-hmm. See, Bethany's Insta stories, I mean, every time I look, there's four. You look at those little dashes up top. There's always at least 300 of them.
She is
phenomenal.
Like,
her dogs.
She's like Spencer and Heidi on The Hills, where she's just doing her own reality show when she's not on a reality show. And you're like, God, you are addicted to being seen.
Can I tell you, I tried watching it, The Hills reboot.
I love it.
I hate it so much.
Really?
It's so bad. And then
part of why I like it.
But I don't find it enjoyable in any way. And then I started following Stephanie, not following as in literally following, but figuratively following her IG. And she like hates her brother, which I'm into. But it's just, it feels like there's so much happening with like Stephanie specifically on social media, and I don't see it carrying over onto the show. I think I've seen one episode of the reboot.
Really bring in enough, but I do think that it's setting us up. We're having a building season, sort of like the first season of Dallas, and I think it's going to go somewhere good. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But for me, it's a mix of nostalgia, and they're trying to make it into a prestige reality show, which it's like never gonna be.
That's the thing.
It's super weird and hard to watch. And then every once in a while they say something like Stephanie said to Misha Barton, well, you know what happened with me? And Misha goes, oh, what happened? And Stephanie goes, I OD'd while I was shoplifting.
She like, did?
You OD'd? And Misha goes, oh yeah, must have been rough. And then you never hear anything else about that. You're like, you OD'd while shoplifting.
Can I ask you a Hills question? So, you know, on OC this week, Kelly was like, my friend Bronwyn, because producers told her they were casual friends.
Yeah.
How does that work with Misha Barton in the Hills? Does anyone say I'm friends with her? Or are they just like, here's someone that used to have a job? Like, how does that work?
So, they brought Misha in talking about her both as a quote unquote, like, former actress. And also, like, they didn't use those words, but she was also like, I'm taking meetings and want to be an actress again. And then they framed her as very like having been through the Hollywood ringer with like they even had Prez Hilton on for her to confront him and call him like,
oh, that I saw.
Yeah. Like sizist and a sexist, and all that stuff. And then they tie her in by
being
like,
weird.
We've all been running around Hollywood and fame created problems in our life. So now we think if we get more famous, those problems will go away. It's like, that's not going to happen. But
what's more depressing to watch, Lindsay Lohan's reality show or The Hills reboot? Lindsay on OWN.
It's definitely any of Lindsay's reality shows are more depressing because it's a bigger fall.
Yeah.
But there's hooks on The Hills. Like Brody is currently like has a very contentious relationship with his new wife. And in real life, she's now dating Miley Cyrus.
Well, I don't know if they're dating, but they're definitely like pretending to make out in like Mykonos or whatever.
And so you're like, that in its own way is sad because like Brody is always adjacent to like whoever's really making reality TV or whatever work for them. Like he's always so close.
He's never the star.
He's never the
he's
star.
He's always the sibling.
So it definitely has its own kind of darkness, but nothing will ever touch Lindsay Lohan like throwing a dead lobster into the sea as she quote unquote sets it free, and you're like, you could have had an Oscar. Like, she could have been in La La Land.
Wait, did that happen?
Yeah, she took
a
lobster
TV show?
From the kitchen of her fake beach club and said, we do not do this here. And it's like, first off, it's on the menu. Whenever she's in her accent, you know she's high. And then she's like, I will set it free, and she like throws it into the ocean, and she's like, ha ha, lobster happy now, ha 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 ha.
Did you see there was a piece in page six this week about her like quote unquote friendship with MBS, the prince of darkness?
Because
she's fucking everybody in the Middle East. That's what like everybody's saying, but nobody's saying.
It was, yeah.
That's how she's living her. That's how they're supporting her.
Which, again, I am jealous of anybody who can do that. But
oh my god, it was one of those. That on my LinkedIn.
It's one of those stories where it just kind of like, she's done so much crazy bullshit that you're like, oh yeah, okay. And you just, it doesn't. It's like when she tried to kidnap those Syrian kids, and we all just forgot about it. It's like, no, wait.
Because she is a hooker, right? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
We use the term sex worker now.
No, hooker. Hooker forever.
Yeah, if anybody's still going to be called a hooker, it's going to be my time.
Good for her.
Honestly,
good for her. It's probably her best work.
Anybody who can like turn, yeah, anybody who can turn a talent, like being beautiful or like able to turn your feelings off during sex.
So here's my thing.
I have no problem with it.
I have no problem with it.
Sort of weird to lie about. Like, I feel like anytime someone lies, like sort of about plastic surgery or something, I'm like, I get why you're doing it. I'm not going to call you out. But in general, I will say I prefer if people are honest about how they're either making ends meet or if they've had work done. I think it's better for all of us.
BCC Melissa Gorga's noses.
Yeah, God. Or Bethany's chin.
Did she? Oh yeah, her chin used to be angular.
Yeah,
it was a geometric shape.
She's seen. She's seen the light.
She's seen some stuff.
The light was the laser and an injectable. And good for her.
Good for her. And P.S. Good for us. Tell the listeners this exciting news about an event that's happening this month that we're both in and I'm very excited about, that I just spoiled, essentially. Tell the listeners about the reason that your tagline was so funny
reason
and topical.
For the season, the reason I mentioned Housewives Live is
the
that
the reason for the season.
We do those Housewives Live readings with my fundraising group here for drama. We started in 2016, post-Trump getting elected. I said I was really uncomfortable with having a reality TV president and still being a reality TV enthusiast.
Oh.
And I wanted, if he could use the power of reality TV for evil, I thought we should use the power of reality TV for good. So we do live readings of whole episodes of The Housewives and other Bravo-style events. We get celebrities and comedians to come in and read the parts.
Oh, yes, celebrities.
And we give all the ticket proceeds to charity for women.
Okay, I'm your number one charity. My Bank of America overdrafts from this week. That will, you guys, beneficiary, yay!
All the money will go to a new charity I
got
call
like five.
The Woman of Insert Address. No, and so you will be our narrator, our host for the evening.
I will.
You will.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
And we're doing the Real Housewives of New York this year's Miami episodes.
So
crazy. If you come on the 28th at Littlefield in Brooklyn, you can go on their website and you'll be able to find.
You can buy tickets now.
You can buy tickets now, and you should buy tickets now.
Because it'll sell out.
It will sell out. We have raffles. We have themed giveaways. We have there's special effects and interactive music stuff. And like, it's a whole Housewives experience. We've had the producers of the show have come. We've given away Watch What Happens Live tickets. We've given away whole baskets of Skinny Girl products. We've given away like sets of. We gave away one time a martini glass that Bethany drank from. And the reason that it is interesting, not just because it's like, oh, that's funny. She brought it herself to a restaurant, took it out, told them to put her product that they served into that drink, like the glass that she brought, took a picture of it, and then didn't drink the drink.
What?
And so somebody
when
had seen this. Then when she left, it was like a couple of years ago, she left the drink on the table. Someone took that and gave it to us, and we gave it away as a giveaway.
That is so
one time we had Stassi Schroeder FaceTime in and her hairdresser came. It was a whole weird thing. So nobody can tell you what's going to happen, but I can tell you we will be reading Miami and someone will be screaming Dorinda live.
Should we do some sort of AG raffle? I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, we can put something together.
Okay, great.
T-shirt and like
I have shirts. I have like a random
and if you're
small.
In New York, maybe they could do a guest spot.
They could maybe do that, or they could maybe not do that. They could.
You just got wild-eyed. You just got wild-eyed.
That that is something that we could maybe discuss offline.
All right, so maybe that won't happen, but
no, there will be something great. There'll be something great.
We'll put together some kind of package. Anyway, it's at Littlefield, which is in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful eco-friendly space. We do about an hour long.
I love that you care about that so much.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great. I care a lot. I do not care even a little.
But we do like an hour and a half show. It is a ton of fun. And then afterward, we have like themed cocktails and the whole cast will come out and you can hang out and we can like talk about the show and the things that we all loved. And
so for anybody who missed the AG Kiki at the Regency earlier this summer and or anyone who attended and just had a total fucking blast, this is a great opportunity to tell me your favorite housewife and why and stuff. Maybe I'll like record something.
Yeah.
Maybe possibly potentially...
Yeah.
And how much are tickets?
Tickets,
$1,500?
Like $10? They
might be, I think they're $10.
Between $10 and $15. It's always between that.
I think it's
$10. We do a calculation based on like time of year and how much we're looking to raise at the raffle versus the tickets, because we always want to make sure this is always for a good cause. And we want to make sure that, and this one is for God's Love We Deliver, which was the charity
Joan
that
Rivers.
Luann went to.
Fake volunteered.
Like spat also, in the soup. We want to make up for that.
She put like too much pasta in each thing and got in trouble. She doesn't like broth, okay? That's just not her thing.
But so they're a great charity that brings meals to sick people around New York City. They have an amazing history, and lots of people have...
Joan Rivers was like
Joan Rivers was
fan.
Super involved.
She was amazing.
And honestly, I have done volunteer time there. They are such a wonderful charity and right now so needed in a city with huge class disparity. So if you come out, it really, you get a lot for your money, because we don't make anything on this and we really want you to have a good time so you'll come back, and it'll be for a good cause. So if you're free, it's a Wednesday night on the 28th of August
in Brooklyn. So if you are a listener international, obviously book your flight now or the day before, whatever floats your boat, and Bank of America debit card, and say hi while you're there, because I'd love to meet you guys, and that like makes my life complete.
Yeah, so you can definitely Google it, or it's on my Twitter. And the name of the show this time is It's Not You, It's Miami. Because it's always, you need puns at a Bravo event.
Listen, I die for a pun. They're my favorite things to do. So that's magical. So Ryan, here's the deal. Obviously, I want you on AG every week. But the reason that you were on specifically this week is because you and I were texting at length. We were saying a lot to each other about, I think, Potomac and OC. And it came to a point where it was like, you just need to be on the show.
Yeah.
So
it was like, save it for the show. This is gold.
Like,
we're having too much fun here.
We're having too much fun, but we're also talking a lot about really important stuff. And you talked a little bit. I just want to dive like right into OC.
Let's do it.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about Trump. And I know this is a touchy subject for people. And I want to be respectful, whatever.
I want to be respectful for the fact that some people voted for him and I think don't support everything that he, like, not everybody reads the New York Times cover to cover. Not everybody has the time to understand what was happening during that election. And I think post that, some people have changed their minds or there's things about him that they don't support. And I don't want to call people out as horrible people if they voted for him. But I do want to say, fuck him. Fuck everything that's happened.
Great.
And y'all need to wake up.
Respectfully. And here's my thing, is that it's not even so much who you voted for. It's, do you want to watch this on Housewives?
Yeah.
And so that's what, when I'm talking about being respectful, certainly it's like your political differences, but it's also people get triggered and they look at Housewives as an escape. And I've done this as a poll and I've talked to so many, AG guests in the past and listeners online on and off, during and after shows. And I sort of ebb and flow. I'm not super consistent with this. Sometimes I love when most of the time I love when politics are involved, because I just think that politics are a part of life. And so that is a part of my life. I like hearing who these women voted for. I am sort of comfortable with some of these. Yeah, I am comfortable with the fact that a lot of these women are conservatives, because I think that plays into the stereotype of an OC Real Housewife.
Well, that's the thing, is that you want a little bit so that you honestly understand who they are. And,
right.
And frankly, this is the politics is the new pop culture. It touches everybody's lives, whether they like it or not. It affects all of us. And to act like it doesn't, Like, to act like the recession wasn't happening on the show would have been irresponsible, and they didn't. And right. to act like this isn't happening on the show wouldn't be a lie. And then we would feel like Beverly Hills, where we're just pretending things aren't happening. Even Beverly Hills, they had to talk about politics. But I don't, I agree that if this was an hour of Trump, an hour of politics and fighting and you're a bad person and a racist and all that stuff, I wouldn't watch it. Or I would maybe watch it for different reasons. So I get that. But I do think it's irresponsible if the show doesn't talk about it, if it is an honest thing that these women are dealing with.
Sure. And that,
like, discord over that.
That ties into my large problem with the scene from this week, which I watched. I didn't watch the full episode four times. I think I watched it like 2.5 times, which was, you know, God bless. That was my due diligence for, like, patriotism for this country, because it was rough, tough stuff. But I watched the scene with Tamara and Ryan like 3 or 4 times. And the first time I watched it, I remember texting with you and I was like, I'm really, really angry, because I felt like it just felt so off-putting to me. It felt manufactured.
It felt like Tamara was checking off the box that people have seen Ryan post transphobic and racist things on the internet, and it's been a talking point in the fandom. So she felt like she had to address it, and she did it in this, like, we could watch CNN together, and he was like, how about Fox News? And it was like, this isn't the core of the issue. The core of the issue is that Ryan has posted violent things to Twitter about other races and queer people, and his brother was mad about that.
That's the
and then he got violent with his brother.
Well, but that's the core of the issue for you. I don't think that's the core of the issue for Tamara. The core of the issue for Tamara is, I want to talk about this fight that's happening between two of my children and have that be plot. So yeah. Initially I got angry because I felt like it was really manufactured, and I was very, very uncomfortable with the idea that Ryan, regardless of his political affiliation, the fact that it was like a question of violence. And I was very uncomfortable with the fact that Tamara just recently has been allowed to have Spencer on the show because he is now 18 years old, and he's now at this point like 19 or 20, and this totally to me fed into the reason that Simon didn't want his kids on the show, because they're going to be used as tools in his plot. And so I was immediately angry and uncomfortable, because I was like, regardless of who you voted for, I am in no way comfortable with a mother talking about one older son wanting to beat the shit out of her younger son, and knowing the divorce and knowing the custody battle and knowing the alienation issues with Sydney. I was like, this is totally playing into that. Then I watched it a couple more times because I really just wanted to like deep dive. And I felt like, you know why I'm really uncomfortable with this, and why I wasn't uncomfortable with the Kavanaugh stuff in Beverly Hills? Because the Kavanaugh stuff in Beverly Hills was a conversation happening between housewives. Let's pretend Camille's full-time, because the editors certainly are. Like, it's a conversation between these women, and I'm not triggered personally, and no disrespect if anybody else is, but I'm not triggered regardless of political affiliation between, like, Camille and Rinna and whomever, because they're having a conversation. I was very uncomfortable watching this scene with Tamara and Ryan, because it felt like Tamara's putting the onus of responsibility and almost like gossip triggering on her kids. And it was like she was passively talking about this, but she wasn't putting herself at risk of alienating everyone. And she was, I'm not a parent. She wasn't
taking an opinion.
She wasn't taking an opinion. She was doing the whole bullshit of like, I don't care about politics, which is, I don't know whether or not that is real and true. It felt like a strategic choice that she was making so as not to alienate a part of her whatever fan base is remaining. And that's what was so upsetting to me. It wasn't what Ryan was saying, and it wasn't Spencer's perspective, which wasn't even being spoken about because he wasn't in the scene. It was the fact that it was essentially being manipulated either by her or production, but I really think it was her, to use her, like, this really sort of devastating situation between her two sons for camera. I would have been more comfortable if it was like Tamara and her son fighting about politics, or Tamara and another cast member about fighting about politics, because those are like genuine grown adults, and also those are the people that are like have this job of appearing on TV and talking about their lives. And if politics are, you know, a part of everyday life, you know, fine, then let's talk about it. And let's agree to disagree. But when you're using your kids to fight those battles, where I'm uncomfortable. Tell me.
The thing that got me, I don't disagree with you, but what I think really stuck in my craw is that Ryan got violent with Spencer.
Yeah.
Threatened violence after threatening violence online publicly to other celebrities and to viewers of the show who follow him. And to take that behavior, which, I mean, being violent alone is bad, let alone to a family member, let alone to an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And then reward that by getting him, making it a plot on the show. So now he's a talking head and he's getting a paycheck for this behavior. And the longer the fight goes on, the bigger a part of Tamara's life it's going to be. So now Ryan is incentivized and this behavior is good for him. And it's so much uglier to me than if the kids were disagreeing and they agreed to be on the show and it was like, you know, he wrecked my car and that was my new car and he hasn't paid me back. And it was like, those brothers are disagreeing for personal reasons. That's whatever. When it comes to like violence and racism and like threatening violence against a child, when Ryan is older than I am,
significantly older than all of those kids. Yeah. And he has a kid.
And
yeah,
so
and that weird white ex-wife.
And to know he has had issues in the past, to be giving him money to act violent and discuss that violence on the show and trash his own brother minutes into the show. Like, I can see why Sydney washed her hands, and it leaves a really bad taste in my mouth with Tamara, because it's like, she will do anything to stay on this show. She will do anything. And I can't imagine a world in which you can say whatever you want about her, that Shannon Bedore would ever let her children be violent to each other appear on television or allow them to get paid and rewarded for it. She would never do that. And I know that Tamara saw that and thought, cha-ching, like, there's a storyline for this season, because her moving can't be her storyline for the 50th time.
And Eddie's heart is always going to be broken. So
and she's never going to be open about the whole Eddie past history of like what weird stuff went on. She's never going to talk about that until she's on the chopping block. Maybe she'd throw it out because she'll do anything. But to me, it was so ugly. And Tamara really needs to nail this season about being likable, because the fan base is so done with her. And to start off on such a polarizing thing and involve your children, I was like, this is the stupidest move I've ever seen a housewife make since Jill Zarin started fighting with Bethany.
Or was it super smart? Because a lot of Trump supporters have gotten on her social, and I'm sure his too, to be like, thank you so much, thank you so much. To which
she's turned her nose up at Trump on Watch What Happens Live. So I mean,
she's playing both sides, but I also think, like, in a way, I guess it's smart, because these people who may not have been Team Tamara are finding themselves Team Tamara. But I also think, like, I get if you want to align yourself with a fellow Trump supporter, but why with someone who's professing violence? Like, I know that Spencer's technically an adult, but when you're 18 years old, you're still a child.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing that it comes down to, I guess, with politics in general at the moment, is I'm not telling you to not have opinions about how the economy should work, even if I deeply disagree with them. I'm telling you that the hill you want to die on is not Donald Trump. The hill you wanted to die on was maybe John McCain, but it's not this guy. So, like, like, you can say I'm a conservative and all that. That's great. But when it comes to, I mean, Ryan is a mini version of what Trump is doing, which is like threatening violence and stuff. That's not a line I'm comfortable seeing people cross, especially seeing people be paid to cross. So the whole thing to me is just, it's really ugly. And like in the way that like Nene getting violent with a cameraman or whatever was like, this is not, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, I take it away from the Trump stuff, because I think that's like for my own self-protection. Like, yeah. I don't want to get into a Trump conversation.
Sure.
But I look at it as like through the lens of violence. I think that's exactly right. Like, why do you want to align yourselves with someone who's threatening violence against a child member of their family?
And hasn't apologized or backed down. Like, he continues to be like, yeah, I hit that kid.
And he says he doesn't care. That's just so weird to me. And it's so weird to me that Tamara, who did the whole parental...
to my parents.
No, I know. It's crazy. No, it's crazy. And Tamara, who did the whole parental alienation shit as a total storyline, it's like, why are you allowing this to be on... It's like, is that weird of me to be... Because I want them to be open, but also I don't think this is appropriate.
How the not having a relationship with her daughter has ruined her life. She acts and she says that it has ruined her life. She doesn't seem to be taking the real steps, which would be getting off of the show, deleting Instagram, and being like, Sydney, I'm sorry, I'm giving all of this up so that I can have a relationship
or
with
just
you.
Not I will not talk about you on camera
she
again.
She just it's has li- never she hasn't done all of it or right. the bare minimum right. But then to say that with one side of your mouth and then encourage discord or fake discourage discord between your kids and make it a storyline on a show where they're getting paid to fight, I don't know, like, the whole thing just puts a really bad taste in my mouth. And like, I don't know, like, I'm getting a little, I get a little darked out by it, because it does show that she's not just an interesting, flawed person, that Tamara is maybe just a really bad person.
So I asked, I have a longer satchel. No, this is good. So I asked people online, on my IG, at Dame Galley. So I asked folks for their opinions, noting that I think a lot of people that follow me online are probably progressive. So this is not the full, I actually do want to hear from people. If you are a Trump supporter or a Team Ryan, Team Tamara in this context, I genuinely want to hear your perspective, because I want to understand it and I want to talk about it on the on AG next week. So
yeah, I would be
DM
really
me.
Open to hearing about
I
that.
I genuinely am super open. No tea, no shade. So this is what some of the people said. Domin didn't need it. Both so thirsty for the camera. We stand King Spencer. Also, Tamara's a registered Democrat, which shocked me. Is she registered to vote?
I think she is a registered Democrat. She donated to John McCain in 2008. But then she said... She was like a little turtle. Then she said on Watch Happens Live that she didn't like Trump. Like, she turned her nose up at him. Right, I was like, whatever. Gross. Then, so it's hard to really know.
Okay. Someone else said garbage. Someone said, I thought it felt fake and forced. Someone said, not surprised her son came out this way and doesn't think his racist comments aren't racist. Someone said, I'll never forget when Gretchen was naked, wasted, and he followed her into the toilet.
Yeah, let's never forget that Ryan is a predator.
Although the naked, wasted stuff
is also on Tamara.
It's on Tamara. And how old was he at the time? He was probably 18, 19. He wasn't that fucking old.
Like, I guess. Yes, but we never got an apology for that from him. And also,
I would look at it from Tamara. I wouldn't look. He's too dumb to know to apologize for that. I would look at it from his parent, who is the one manipulating.
I'll never make an excuse for a man.
Okay, great. Someone else said Ryan's face hair to head hair ratio bugs me, and he's a terrible, often human being. Someone said, I like politics being brought up on the show, but want more dialogue than dispute. I think that's a really good point.
100%.
Someone said, ooh. Someone said, you could tell it was Simon who raised him. Someone said, for someone whose mommy fronted him money for his house, he should shut his stupid mouth.
What was her whole thing where she was like, Spencer grew up rich, so he's healthy and normal, but Ryan, I put him in daycare and I never loved him. Like, well, wait, what was that defense?
She was making it into a money thing, but I think what was a valid point was her talking about the fact that he probably had an unstable, chaotic household. I mean, she has said on past seasons when she was being very introspective, when she was like, you know, I tried to kill myself, and she has had issues with suicidal ideation or manic or some sort of depression. And so I think there is validity to the fact that he absolutely grew up in a different, not in a comfortable way financially, but also not in a consistent, stable household. If she's worrying about the lights going off, I mean, your child is going to take that in into their bloodstream. And so the fact that he's grown up and has been sort of like obnoxious as an adult.
I know a lot of poor people who are not violent, and I just think there's a suggestion there should be like, do you want to do mom son therapy?
No, but sure,
it's never gonna happen.
But I also think I think that we also do need to take into account that he has not had the childhood that Spencer has, and that's
sure.
I think that's a valid point, and I'm sure contributes to some of this and to some of his behavior. I'm not putting his voting record into that. Someone said, don't think Tamara is a Trumper, but I wish she said more. Someone had the vomit emoji, you know, like this goes on and on. Someone says, strangely enough, she came off worse than he did. She's more pro-Trump than anyone on the show. I don't know that that's the case, because Emily has said repeatedly how obsessed she is with Trump. So online, not on the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's tough. I had a longer satchel of gold from Mackie from Olympia, Washington, originally, but now living in the Big Bad Apple. Apple emoji. He says, OMG, I felt this one. So my brother joined the Marines after high school, then became a cop and is now in the Army and is now a big Trumpet. And I'm gay and went to school for musical theater, LOL. We couldn't really be more different, and my mom is more with my point of view. She's a Quaker and a poetry teacher and loves gardening, so she couldn't be further from MAGA. I think it's really difficult for her to not only have a son that's a Trump supporter, but also that's a large point of contention between her kids. So I definitely felt for Tamara a lot in that aspect. I could tell she didn't really want to be disrespectful towards either of them, and was definitely some of the most tongue-biting I've seen from her. The tongue-biting I would agree with. Mm-hmm. It was kind of sad, yada, yada, yada.
I have conservatives in my family, and the way that we deal with it is we either don't talk about that,
yeah,
or when we do, we try to talk about it in terms of how it made us feel and how what the priorities that they're espousing, how they would affect us personally and how that bothers us. And anytime voices get raised, even if it's me or if it's my dad, whoever it is, the other person or one of my brothers, the other person says, we can't do this. Like, it's not constructive. Now we're fighting from an emotional place that will end up with us attacking each other and making each other feel bad. We're not going to change each other's mind if we're talking in highly emotionally charged terms and not rationally. And if we're not having a discussion that the other person can hear rather than like a wall of emotion that you can't hear the words they're saying, you just hear how they're feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's perfect, but it certainly seems like the way that you would go about that is to be like, the way that you're talking is wrong. And also, like, isn't knowing your brother at this crucial time when he's growing up and having that relationship more important to you than whatever other stuff he thinks or have said? Like, is there a way you two can say, let's not discuss politics and let's keep tabs on each other personally and spend holidays? Right. Like, there has to be a way to manage that. You don't have to think he's a good person.
I think that there's a way that a lot of people manage it. And the problem is that Tamara wasn't asking him to manage it. She mm-hmm. was asking him to manage it on camera.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's hard because we know the record of custody battles that she's had with Simon. And it's hard. I know that Simon was a piece of shit, too. None of these people are like genuine angels, yeah, which is why they've been on
Team
reality.
Nobody.
Team Nobody. Team Nobody. But it just it makes Spencer. Me. I mean,
he's a child.
Maybe. But who even knows? Who he's knows? A child. Like, he's probably a fucking moron, too. Like, we're all
I
dumb.
Always root for the kids, even like the kids that I
because they don't
can't
know.
Stand. Like, even like when Emily's kids are kicking the dog, I'm like, listen, I will defend that dog, but I also like root for you to learn how to treat a dog.
That dog needs a new owner.
Because it's a child.
Lucy, go to the farm. I.
Dorit's in the background choking out Emily's dog.
Yeah, I felt uncomfortable about it because someone had actually reached out to me before the premiere and they were like, can you believe so-and-so and that a storyline is going to be about her family and being Trump supporters? And I didn't actually believe it. I was like, that's not going to be a storyline. And then when they started the conversation in that kitchen, I was like, fuck.
You texted me, you were
this.
Like, did you get to the kitchen yet? And I was like, no. And you were like, ooh.
I was like, text me once you do. Yeah, I just felt uncomfortable about it, but I also felt like I felt uncomfortable about several moments in this premiere. It felt,
I mean, Shannon's kids talking about their bodies,
that
was
not
very hard.
That was
to
a
watch.
Low moment. I
don't even know why it had to make air.
I totally agree with you. I thought, like, this is not a great pattern. This is not when you walk in and out the door talking about gaining or losing weight. I mean, that's
Kelly
also,
was like,
Kelly was
you
like,
look amazing.
Kelly's like, you're skinny now. Let's
you
be
lost
friends.
All your gross parts. Look at you. I'm gonna buy you some new titties.
There was some moment in a confessional where she's like, you know, she did used to be chubby. And, yeah. And it was like, okay, we got it.
Last time I saw her, she was a dumpy monster. Now she's a pretty lady.
But here's my thing with Shannon. We all have our favorite housewives. And the reason that I empathize and I love, there's a photo of Shannon and myself that like takes ownership in my living room and my kitchen area because I love her so much. And I do. I will always love her. And I love her because I love her. Not because of her faults, but like in spite of them and because I've like embraced a lot of them in my life. I have a huge my whole life. I've had disordered eating that I didn't know was real until I started going to see mental health people. And they were like, this is a disease. I thought it was just a hobby. That's what my mom told me. She's like, no, this is just a fun thing to do. So I understand when Shannon announces herself at the door as being like, I'm skinny now or I feel chubby or yeah. I don't feel good about myself.
No, I totally
on the outside.
Get it.
Like it's and I think that's a real thing that a lot of people deal with. And I am one of those people. And I love Shannon because I know that she's complicated and she's often like in the wrong or expresses herself in a weird way. And I think that for a lot of us, the reason that we have certain favorite housewives for many of us is because we see ourselves in them.
Even when Shannon is very wrong, I don't think it's out of malice.
No,
and that
it's
goes
not.
So far with me.
It's I totally agree with you. And but there were moments in this week's premiere where I was like, oh my God, what am I watching? First off, I just want to just say for a second, the stand-up of Beverly Hills, that philosophy carrying over to OC with the my favorite person isn't being featured or I feel like they're being mistreated off camera, so I hate everyone involved and want you all to die. Like, that's weird to me. I don't understand the perspective of loving a housewife so much that you start to genuinely shit on the show.
Yeah.
I don't get that unless the reason that housewife is being misused or misappropriated or whatever off camera is affecting the plot of the show and is making the show worse, then I can sort of see the gray. But taking this thing on where you're tweeting Andy and tweeting Bravo TV and being like, how dare you? You're being like abusive to the OG by her not being a part. It's weird to me. It is just as weird to me that they made.
We also are not getting the full story of how these people treat production or their negotiations.
Or they're too much money, or it's maybe just done for them.
And yet, you can support someone and be like, you also don't need to be on the show anymore. Nobody needs to see Lauren Conrad on the New Hills.
You can still get insurance with her. She will take it. She still wants to see it. And, you know, Elsie's somewhere like hawking quilts or whatever. I don't even know what the fuck that woman is doing. But anyway, so. Back to Vicky. The thing is, I forget what I was going to say.
Shannon.
The problem is that they made Vicky a friend of, but nobody else. I started watching the premiere. I was like not thrilled to be watching it to begin with. I think OC has become, even though Shannon's my like beloved, OC is my least favorite show to watch and has been since at least last season, if not prior. And I started watching the premiere and I was like, this is just so weird to me because it made no sense to me that Vicky was a friend of who they spoke about, which I get from a transitional perspective, but that Emily is still full time. Gina's going through some.
I feel like
Gina's glam is a cry for help. And then I saw the chinchilla and I was like, there is a lot happening. It's very dark.
It felt like Emily, Gina's got some darkness, which I would appreciate seeing, but it felt like Emily and Tamara maybe should have gone out to pasture with Vicky and maybe popped up as friends of like Emily can pop up like Quinn Fry dressed as Roxy or whatever. We'll all get a good laugh at the finale, but I don't get a ton from Emily day to day. I don't need to see her at home with her like beard husband who like apparently is just like left to study or whatever the hell he's doing.
I almost felt like, just to pull from OC past, Quinn, who was like one of the worst casting decisions at OC,
way ahead of her time, though.
And
way ahead of her time.
Yes, was actually probably better in the moment and or looking back than Emily. Emily serves
easily
no purpose. And if the purpose is to give Gina a friend, then Gina needs to go, or we need to find someone who genuinely makes sense for the show. And if Gina gets her job, which is her only paycheck, she will follow suit. It just feels so old and disjointed to me. And then Vicky's a friend, but they're using her a la Camille. It's like the power of the friends of. You have Katie on Potomac, Camille on Beverly Hills, and Vicky
sort of
on OC.
I think a good friend of. I just think so far we're treating her still like a housewife.
Right, that's
not
the problem.
A friend of.
She's being treated as a full-timer, and then she's saying openly, like, I don't know why I'm on, like, shruggy, whatever, but I'll be at BravoCon, but, like, I don't know why they're mistreating me. I have no idea. She's doing all these, like, Insta replies, and Steve is doing a lot of her PR now, which is a very odd look for
that.
Me.
I can't
with their relationship. But
Steve Lodge.
Steve forever. I just felt like it was a rough premiere to go through, and
I was happier to be an OC than I thought I would be.
Why?
Because it felt like I was at least seeing some stuff which wasn't a retread. Beverly Hills, the most interesting thing that happened was the dog fight, but it was only interesting for two episodes, and then it was a retread of the dog fight or old fights that we'd had in the past, like Sniper from the Side stuff. And it just felt like, oh, I've seen this. Like, I have seen this. Come on. Next thing. Come
you
on.
You didn't think that OC was a retread? I mean, Beverly Hills started really
strong.
No,
it felt different to me. I think the Gina stuff was dark in its own way, and I think it could go somewhere. I like seeing Shannon actually seem like she's coming out of a real funk.
Yeah, that
was fun.
I did like
Kelly
that.
Is always like a trip and a half. I will tune in just for her. Tamara, yes. I was like, all right, Tamara, like, we have seen this already from you. And Emily, I don't care about. But if half of the team is doing well, that's better than we were doing previously. And so Beverly Hills is easily my least favorite show of the shows to watch.
Beverly Hills is?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
But I will say, like, I think OC can recover. It's just they've done half of the work they need to get us back to a watchable show.
Who's the they?
Like getting rid of Vicky, or at least making
production.
Her a friend of. Yeah, production. Yeah. Moving Tamara, like transitioning away from Tamara, is a very important goal we should all be working towards. And I think that we could get there. We just need more Kelly Dodds and less like Peggy Sulahans.
Yes, I think we need more Kelly and more Shannon. And I did think it's an interesting thing that this season is going to be like the downfall of Gina, whatever, or her like struggles.
Oh,
when we can't see her
rough.
When we can't see her estranged husband, who in real life there was some issue of just incident of domestic violence, and like she is saying that he has a drug and alcohol issue and all that, but we can't see any of him on camera. And they got back together recently for a little bit before this domestic violence thing happened. And Emily, it's like no one gives a shit about Shane. I feel like the producers.
Yeah, I truly don't.
I think the producers misunderstood the amount of people who were passionately anti-Shane and thought that was actually a reason to have Emily continue on camera. And it's like, no, we just happen to hate her husband. She's still bad at this.
Yeah, it's not hate watching like you love to hate watch it.
No, it's like truly hate complaining.
Like, I do not like him. Please stop putting him on my TV screen.
And they heard that and they were like, well, at least somebody's saying something. So like double down. I don't care about either of their marriages. I'm sorry.
I will say the Gina stuff to me is interesting, but I agree that she shouldn't have to put any of that on camera, but that also maybe then you shouldn't be on the show. Do you know what I mean? Like nobody's saying she has to talk about being her domestic violence thing, but then maybe you're a friend of and not a housewife, because if you're not going to talk about it, like you need to open your life up. And I get sick of like, can't talk about the husbands, can't talk about the kids, can't talk about the parents, can't talk about your career. Like, what can you talk about?
Totally. I don't think she needs to talk about the domestic violence stuff because it hasn't happened.
I just want more honesty.
But she needs to show her husband. She needs to show her estranged husband. I need to see that.
Yeah.
What the problem here now is that it's like, oh, I feel bad, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I can't see the primary person in your life that you're talking about on camera.
We've literally never met him.
I know that some people like feel something for Gina and I think that's great. And I'm sure she's like a wonderful, funny person, but she's not meant to be on this franchise specifically, and I don't know that she's meant to be on reality TV.
She's a Jersey person. I know I say that about multiple housewives, but both Barbara and her to me say that feel like they could round the Jersey cast out in a nice way.
Barbara could be a friend. Barbara is never meant to be full time. She is not that person.
Well, if she'd
talk
about her personal life a little more, I think maybe she would have been more interesting. But she's not refused to do that.
Right.
So,
she's not like up for the job. Yeah. She got a chance. True. It didn't work out.
You're right.
But Gina, you're totally right about New Jersey. She would do great on Jersey.
She would.
And she
because they're slightly more compassionate, but also they'll read your shit out a little. Like Margaret would not let things go unsaid in the way that I think Emily is like, oh, well, Gina, whatever you want to reveal or not reveal.
I feel really, it's so interesting to me that Beverly Hills is your least favorite. And I just feel really.
I can't take it. I'm like, I can't take it anymore.
So what do you think is going to happen this season of OC?
So I think we're going to get Shannon and Tamara are going to stick together like glue. Because
I'm like shivering.
Shannon is scared of new people and Tamara is scared of losing her place on the show, and she knows Shannon's not going anywhere, so she will stick to her like glue. We will get a lot of I told you so's to Gina about her divorce. She was like, my divorce will go really easy, and they were like, no, it won't.
Yeah.
And even though it's still none of their business, they will turn around and say, I told you so. Gina will
get
upset.
They sort of should. I mean, yeah.
And then we're gonna get some big. I know we're getting a big Emily moment because she would have been pushed to friend of. The fact that we've seen her at home, she's got to get in the game this season, or I don't understand why she.
I don't know
be
if
there.
It'll be one big moment of like I'm gonna kill you, like she did with Kelly, which was a wonderful moment that I.
Or
really...
a slow boil where she slowly comes undone.
Woman
undone.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna get. The thing that you just talking about Shannon not liking new people reminded me. I watched Shannon on Watch What Happens, and the worst part of that, I think it was Shannon and Jerry O'Connell. The worst part of that moment was when Jerry O'Connell was talking about how great Kelly is for the show, and Shannon's face, it was like she'd seen a ghost, and that ghost was the ghost of Victoria Gumbelson being like, you better fucking defend me, otherwise I'm gonna kill you. And the problem that Shannon has, and that this Tres Amigas thing is that they are more concerned with having an alliance forever than they are doing their jobs.
Yes.
And their jobs is to be good on camera.
I mean, that's the problem with Beverly Hills. They're more concerned with their secret deal than they are with having a television show.
Their jobs are to be good on camera and to perform on this show and to show us their lives and whatever the fuck you want to say about this show. One of the best moments from the premiere was absolutely Shannon and Kelly having fun, because we want to see Shannon and Kelly have turtle time. Now, if Kelly gets into some big battle with Vicky that becomes a big battle with Tamara, which they're having online, and P.S. their online fighting is much more entertaining than the premiere so far. So
delicious.
If you guys, speaking of following people, just overview, watch that.
I read every one of Kelly Dodd's voice in her voice, in her like big weird.
And you know, she's flipping out. Like all of her Insta stories are just her having dinner with people and none of it makes sense. There's never a narrative. It's just her holding the camera and being like, this is so-and-so.
There's always a TMZ shot of her going into some warehouse and it says like goth German sex party. And she's like, I don't know. I got mad light. What?
I just felt like I watched Shannon, like Jerry was talking so much about how great Kelly is, and Shannon just looked, she had like pursed lips and looked so annoyed and like, well, whatever. And I just felt like, Shannon, watch the show through the eyes of the viewers. I know that's
a
big,
she
can't do it, but if you know that a part of Tres Amigas has been demoted, which isn't a really great sign for their future of being full time, like Nini aside, if you know this person has been demoted against their will, that's probably a good indicator that they're not the future of the show. Yeah. And I know that Shannon sees herself staying on the show for a while longer. I think she has the right to. She's in such an up moment in her life.
She's like, got at least 3 more seasons.
Absolutely. And I don't know what's going to happen with Tamara. And I think that Tamara should be on her way out. But yeah. Shannon, why are you aligning yourself? I mean, I know that we don't have
it just seems the privilege so
of knowing what happened during production. And I'm sure that Kelly said a lot of terrible things. But that aside,
but you also know that that's who Kelly is. And right. Like, it's like Ramona. You can't, to a certain extent, you have to tell her when she's wrong. But you also can't always hold that against her because it's kind of who she is. Like, and it's never, she does say stuff that's way over the line, but it's also how she says things that people get more upset about rather than what she said.
Totally.
Can we talk about, first off, Gina's hair is...
It is a cry for help. Her glam is a cry for... She is not meant to be on this show. This specific
franchise.
I'm
genuinely concerned.
Crimping is not...
I know it sounds not a sign of so gay and over the top.
No,
but
it's not.
I looked at her hair and I was like, it was like when Lindsay Lohan went like ice blonde and you were like, baby, not your skin. Not your skin, honey. I looked at Gina and I was like, you are from Long Island.
And those
I
MAC,
know that.
Those little MAC containers of sparkles.
Oh, every
not
gay
good,
or girl from Long Island, if they dye their hair that color, or if they start crimping, or if they just start doing that
it's
thing
so bad.
Where they put gel in while it's wet, you know that they are in the shit and you need to get the hook and pull them out of the gutter.
It does not look good. And this is an upgrade. Every one of their confessionals, I started thinking like which franchises are the least stylish. And I would say currently, no tea, no shade, but Potomac and OC. I think Potomac has terrible style, but they're
well, they dress like normal people.
Because they're normal people, but they're like wonderful.
Atlanta,
from God.
Turned a corner around the same time New York did, which
Atlanta's
was like
extremely
we're
bougie.
Going way over the top with our money
and
Beverly Hills has always been too over the top a little too over the, it's a little too draggy for me, but we OC and Potomac have never really turned the corner to be like I'm wearing a Beetlejuice statue from that house that Delia Deeds put together.
It's just real. It's real bad. All of Gina. I love that people are Team Gina, and I get it. Like Team
she
Gina
just,
IRL.
She looks like someone who's crying in a Home Goods all the time.
She is. If Bethany bleeds, then
Gina's tears
are going to be every. I don't know. I was over it. I honestly was not thrilled about watching it.
I was
and
like,
then I'm
go
like,
back
maybe
to Long Island. Just go back to
be
Long
with
Island.
Your. I cannot believe she is. I cannot believe she is a parent of 3 children. She is so connected to her parents in such an unhealthy way. Like whatever Gino thinks about Gina is like the Bible that carries. And I just wondered, like, yeah, maybe go home or something.
Yeah,
we will put
home.
You on another
it's okay.
show.
It's okay.
Well, you're
go
not.
Home.
You're still gonna make money.
Yeah,
we're still gonna
go
be on TV.
Home.
Like,
yeah,
hey,
so
go
home.
Home.
You're so cute.
This
no.
isn't cute.
Oh, no, 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 go home.
Okay, Ryan Houlihan. Is there anything? Well, there's nothing else we need to say about OC. We've killed it.
We never even talked about Bronwyn.
Oh, great. Good
seems
for
fine.
You pushing out babies through your vag.
She
and
seems
fine. You're thin. You're still thin. Mazel.
I'm happy to see what else is coming. It was less.
I forgot about her.
It was less of an intro that I thought we were getting, which I thought we were going to be like.
Here's my life story.
I'm a mom and it's so crazy. I have to make 7 peanut butter and jellies every morning. Like we didn't get any of that, which I was thrilled that we weren't getting a ton of that. And I'll see where it goes.
I want to fuck
I've
her husband.
I've heard good things. Oh, yeah, totally.
Do we think he's a little...
I think every Michael house
Darby-ish.
Husband is fucking gay. I think they're all
is he
gay.
Darby?
I don't want to out anybody, but there's a handful of them that I don't think are gay. Just like Stephanie's husband, unfortunately, is not...
Oh, God.
Doesn't have a gay bone in his
I
body.
I am a little sexually attracted to Travis Holtman.
Deeply.
Thank you. I meant that.
Deeply.
I meant that, but I was pussyfooting around. Speaking of my pussy, what do you think about Mr. Bronwyn?
I think he's super hot.
So hot.
Super hot.
How do they have 7 kids? It actually doesn't make sense to me. Nor does it make sense to the kids.
When Shannon heard that and then looked at her body, Shannon, I thought Shannon was going to rip her apart and be like, where's your cream cheese? And, where's the salmon?
And Bronwyn took it and she's like, listen, we have the same body. And you know that Shannon was like, we are best friends. That is exactly the right thing that you say. Thank you so much. We're besties forever. Yeah, I think
I'm excited to see where we're going with her.
Yeah, it's fine.
I've heard good things from people who have screeners. So we'll see.
Yeah, there was a little clip when they showed the season. She was like yelling at her husband on a boat about wanting to kick somebody off. I assume that will be Kelly. I don't know who. I was into it. Maybe Tamara. No, probably not Tamara. Probably Kelly. Who are we getting?
But I also love that she was like, this this kid is baby, that kid is sporty, that kid is scary, that kid is posh, that kid's in my ginger. Like, she had like a 2-second description of every kid. It was very cute.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine. Good for
her. And honestly, I have had horrible reactions to Housewives that in their first 2 seconds, and she stuck the landing. So let's see what her routine is.
I totally agree with you. I don't love her. I definitely don't dislike her. Mm-hmm. I don't love her, and I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying, like, she's totally fine. She's probably going to be great. Okay. We need to talk about Michael Dowry. So there was so much that happened this week, and I started wondering about this whole father thing with Ashley. You know, I have said in
previous... Ashley's false flag operation. But then...
So I had been saying that this is like the strangest distraction she's ever. And again, it's all about at the end of the day, like Ashley punishing herself. Yeah. So it's like that's the common thread. But I started wondering, is this happening to distract from Michael, or was this always in the cards and she's just going full for it? Like, had she discussed this with production? Like, what do you have coming up this season?
She
had plans for this, and then she's just proceeding to do it. And it's not so much about disguising Michael as it is like getting back to something else.
Yeah. I think Ashley is like a Westworld robot where there's like 14 narratives at any time that could click into motion.
Yeah.
And she's waiting ready for the stimulus to be like, father, we will go with father. I am looking for my lost father. And like, other than that, it was going to be something about the restaurant, which she's got ready and locked and loaded to go. Something about, she's always like got, she plays this game. She plays the game better than most, but not as good as she thinks she does, which is exactly the kind of housewife that I like love. So this whole father business is obviously a false flag operation. I feel so bad for her aunt and uncle who were just like,
oh my God, her poor uncle.
They were like, please don't encounter this man. He is no good for you or us. And she's like, I'm going to go to his house. Want to come with? And they were like, we really don't. He's a bad person who has mistreated both of us. And we're happy to have a relationship with you. And she was like, well, I told production I was going to my dad. So, and you're like, oh.
How many people though, in toxic relationships with their parents, how many adult children of toxic parents feel that responsibility of being like, I need to step up even though I'm the child? And what Ashley seems to be experiencing is a little bit of whiplash because she's doing that with her husband, where she's like, how I need to take on the ownership of making this right because I need to be a good wife. And with her, she's like, I need to be a good child.
Surrounds herself with these men,
yes,
because of her dad. She surrounds herself
who do not claim her, sort of similar to Kenya and her mother. This man has not claimed her, has blocked her from Facebook.
And
why are you
is,
spending the time?
You don't need it. Your mother claims you. Your husband apparently claims you.
Sometimes.
Your friends have claimed you. The television has claimed you. The fans have claimed you. You own a restaurant that you seem to actually like have cared about at one point. You want to have a baby, like you move on. And I know it's hard. You can't say this to people because like, I don't know what that's like.
Right.
But I do know what it's like to have a relationship with a family member.
Yeah.
That I know isn't going where it should be going.
Yeah.
I have people in my extended family that I'm like, this is never going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I love you. And I wish that we had something that we don't.
Yeah.
And so I got to move on and be happy about the things that I do have. And part of me, my heart goes out because I'm sure this is something that deeply affects her and that she's dealt with. The other part of me is like, and now you're using it for reality TV fodder. So it's a little bit harder to be like, to take it all seriously, because I know you're doing it partially to distract from what's going on with your husband. And like, I don't know. I just feel really bad for Ashley because her mom seems to like be a nice person who isn't equipped for the world.
Yeah.
And she seemed to have done the best she could. And then Ashley is laying bare her mom's flaws on camera while she has yet to say anything about her dad. Like, the things about her dad that are bad are objectively bad. She's recounted, but she doesn't seem to have any animosity to him. She just like is, she's got this like, if I ever get in there, I'm gonna love him and I'll fix it.
How can she hate someone that she's never really known?
But she'll lay all her mom's shit bare. Yeah. She'll be like, my mom did this and I have to pay for this. And Michael doesn't like that my mom does this. And I don't like when my mom does that. It's like, well, your mom's the one that is there and trying in her own way the best that she can.
It was interesting that her mom was so supportive of this happening. I was genuinely surprised by that. And
I was happy for her mom because that must take a lot.
Yeah, it takes. And also, it's so strange that he follows her mom on Facebook or whatever. They're Facebook friends, but he doesn't.
He blocked Ashley.
Yeah, it's after she reached out.
I think she's right when she says that her dad is ashamed of what he did. And I think that's really what the core of the problem is there's a deep shame for he knows he did
which
something
has turned
super
into
fucked
anger.
Up. And now he's just completely compartmentalized it. And anytime someone tries to like pop that bubble. But Ashley just keeps trying to pop the bubble. And it's like, you can't make somebody else engage with you. You just can't. He doesn't engage with his brothers and sisters, and they don't even know why. You know, and he knew them. So it's really dark, and it's like she's distracting us from some darkness in her life with some more darkness in her life, and it's rough, and it is
for someone who's such like a seemingly independent woman. It's just some of the choices that she has made. Listen, I watched that unseen footage, I don't know, 25 times. I've watched that 3 minutes over and over and over again, and there
like
is
a Zapruder film.
Oh, so much more important for American history. I just keep watching it because it's so obvious that he groped that cameraman. It is so obvious. The question that Katie Ross has gotten a little bit of trouble with
production.
This has
never come up multiple times with anybody else in the hundreds of people who have appeared on these shows. And if there is smoke, there's a predator.
Well, yes. And the Katie Ross has gotten a little bit of trouble. And I think Monique was maybe attempting to cast a little bit of doubt on one specific moment attached to this, because there were two moments of unseen footage. One was the actual, essentially the groping taking place in that audio, and the other was later that night. And apparently the person whose voice was saying like, hey, Mike was Monique's cousin. And so Monique was like, why are they using my cousin's audio? And Katie Ross took that online to me and, oh, then this is all their production's being super manipulative, and I'm going to talk about it at the reunion. Ring, ring. Oh, it's the phone. Oh, it's production calling telling me I'm disinvited from coming to the reunion. Cool, cool, cool. There's a lot that's happening online between the castmates, but it doesn't negate the fact that that initial footage, not the stuff at the end of the night, which still could be real and some of it could be pulling some other audio, that actual footage, and also P.S. that audio at the end of the night could have been in no way manipulative, but manipulated, but it could also be just that happened and you're led to believe that it's Michael talking to the cameraman and it's Michael talking to the cousin, but it doesn't mean that this didn't happen.
But also the cameraman said it happened and filed charges, and I don't know why anyone who had a steady job would do that. And I've worked in TV. There is an unspoken, if you create problems on set, no matter whether it's your fault or not, this isn't right. But frankly, if you create problems on set, you are persona non grata for the rest of your career. It will come up. People will say he creates problems, whether or not it was your fault. So your incentive is to just shut up and like let. That's why, like, most of the time you never hear problems out of production, even though I'm sure when you tape this many crazy people over the course of decades, you're going to have some. You very rarely hear about it because it is not the incentive of
generally,
the crew.
Yes, yeah, generally.
Generally. And so to me, it's like, I think that something probably happened. We've seen a pattern of this behavior from Michael. And like, I don't need conspiracy theories. Like, maybe they pulled audio for 2 seconds and they spliced it to make it the editing.
I mean,
tighter.
They said they didn't.
Whatever it is.
Right.
This probably happened. And also, he doesn't get a get out of jail free card. It's not like, well, Bravo pulled some audio and now it means, oh, can't touch him.
There also seems to be some selective denial and outrage that Ashley and Michael are pretending to have, that their cast members are upset what happened when I'm just going to say he did it because he did it. He groped a cameraman who works on a show for which all of these women are employed.
They all
employed.
Have relationships with these people.
So they all have relationships with these people, and it's affecting all of their jobs. If he was suspended from filming, I'm sure there was an hour and a half where they were like, is this still going to happen? How's this going
to
play out?
And then they have to do events where they're like, well, if he can't tape, so we'll have to not have the husbands at this event, so we have to change what we're doing. And I was gonna, you know, have this storyline or whatever was developing, and we had been taping, and
he joked about sucking Juan's dick.
Ugh.
Or sausage or whatever. The person's responsibility for how this affected the show is not Giselle talking about it, it's not Monique allegedly talking about it, it's not anybody else talking
about Michael.
It's Michael Darby, who has such an issue with consent, I can't even tell you. And Karen correctly, like literally accurately, and then also correctly and morally, has been bringing up the problem of consent because Karen is a survivor of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Karen's a survivor of rape. And Karen has been talking about the fact that whether or not it's a joke, which Ashley keeps saying, like, it didn't happen, but it's also a joke. It didn't happen, but the stuff
but
that happened
But it's like saying
a
racial slur and being like, it was a joke. Well, you still said it, and I don't want to hear it, and I asked you not to, and you keep doing it.
But, and also, you're saying it like it was a joke, like the other person was participating
and
in
they
it.
Weren't.
But they weren't. They never gave consent. And their reaction to it is matters.
Valid.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think the other thing with Potomac at the moment is that It's action packed and it is a tight show.
Oh, so good.
But the tone thing is tough because we're jumping between sympathizing with Ashley, being mad at Michael and grossed out by him, feeling bad for Karen, and then Giselle makes fun of Karen. It's very complicated. Like, it is like an onion of a show. And that's what I think is the reason that I find all of this so engaging, because on Beverly Hills, which again is not my favorite one to watch, it's fairly straightforward what everybody's pushing, and they will reinforce that throughout the entire episode. And if you get moments of humor, it's like Kyle making fun of Lisa because she doesn't like Lisa, and you're like, that reinforces the Lisa fight. Potomac is just all over the place, and they all have so much going on
in the best way.
It is so good. And like, I have to say, like, Giselle is an all-time great housewife. She is playing the game on a level heretofore unseen, and I love her. And I actually think this whole cast is really tight. I don't think there's anybody that I'm like, I know some people don't really care for Monique, but I actually really like,
oh, I love Monique.
I like Monique. I love everybody.
Her. I feel like Potomac is playing varsity volleyball, and OC and Beverly Hills are playing like Nukem. Like, remember that game, yep, where you like catch it, you don't have to like throw it back, mm-hmm, or like hit it or whatever. Oh my God, sports. Like, I just, they feel like they're playing a different kind of game, and they, I mean, also
even
are playing
Candace
it so well.
Touring that house on Beverly Hills, if they toured a house, they'd be like, I wanted this house. It's on the beach. It's perfect. Now I've got a drop sleeve. Next scene. On Potomac, she's like, it's a $2.5 million house. And her husband is like, we don't have $2.5 million.
They don't have enough for their condo that their mother. So what Candace is saying is like, I'm going to separate. I'm going to financially emancipate myself from being under my mom and having her pay for that condo by instead having a house that she will also pay for.
And we'll have a master bedroom in.
And Giselle, she'll have her own suite. Well, because that's appropriate. She should have the master suite since
she owns the house.
She owns the house. And then Giselle said on the after show, she's like, so guess what? Candace's mom told me. She told me that Candace actually asked her for money for the house so that she doesn't have to keep paying for the condo. And then Candace went on social media and she's like, that's such bullshit. She never talked to my mom. Wait until the reunion, blah, blah, blah. And she better focus on making sure that her $900,000 cabin doesn't fall down.
Oh my God.
Which
when
I was
Robin
like,
use that toilet. Amazing.
Disgusting.
Amazing.
Disgusting.
Do you think that Luann reached out to Candace's mom and said, do you have $5 million because there's a house I really need?
How does her mom have... Her mom was a psychiatrist, right? Or a therapist? Or some sort of ist?
I guess.
She sold her practice, I'm assuming. I have
Googled
it.
Yeah, that has
it.
To be what it is. She was probably like, these crazy people are boring.
She got a lump sum, I'm guessing, but
you can invest
she...
well. If you get a couple million bucks for a practice or whatever, like billable stuff adds up to, maybe she walked away with $2.5 million or $5 million.
$2.5 million is not going to do it.
No, but if you invest it well and you live sort of within your means and you say to your daughter, like,
yeah, I wonder how
you're getting an allowance.
I wonder if Candace's mom is the kind of parent that, like, I know a lot of, what's it called? Only kids who have parents like this, where they
live humbly,
right,
and the kids
and they
live
give
large.
The kids everything, and yeah, then that kid grows up to be a fucking monster. Because
well,
it's
Candace's
all designer.
Mom seems to live through her,
yeah.
And so I would think that
why not invest in myself? And myself is an extension of me, aka my
like,
children.
It's like she's playing with a doll in an iOS game and doing a ton of in-app purchases, and her regular life isn't anything. And you know, like I do think she
and
lives
the doll
through her
is
like a
teddy bear that she loves to poke.
Yeah,
I mean, for real.
It's like a pageant mom thing. And so Candace also doesn't seem to understand. I know this is an obvious statement, but every week it hits me how truly she doesn't seem to understand the value of a single dollar. Like, she does not understand what work is. Like, he was like, well, we don't have this money. And she's like, well, I have my hair business and my
Which
consulting
her mom
business.
Supports.
And my...
Those are all her mother's businesses.
Yeah, it's like you don't work, though. And why would any of those suddenly become a success if you don't spend any time working at that? Like, she doesn't understand work or how to get money outside of, like, I want it. And, like, that weird princess behavior is just... And then to juxtapose that with like Robin and Giselle, it's like these people are backbending to be entrepreneurs and stand on their own 2 feet and rebuild their lives after devastating personal situations. And
tonight's
Candace
episode,
is like, I need a $2.5 million house.
Tonight's episode, the teaser is like, Robin's going to buy a truck now. Okay, Robin couldn't be trying harder to bring in income in the strangest ways. But God bless her. She's
yeah,
doing the work of
I
so
love
many.
That. I love watching that. I, you know, some people take it too far, like Bethany let it take over her life and it, in a way that I think even she realizes now. But I love seeing someone work really hard and have a dream. And Candace just is a complete opposite, with all the entitled self-importance of someone that earned their money and sold their liquor brand. And it's so funny and hard to watch. And I love it. I love it. I love watching her prance around.
With Bethany and with some of the others where it's like business is everything, it's not so much that they regret the time, which I'm sure a part of it is that exactly. I think it's also the fact that she was replacing one toxic element of her life, her childhood, everything else, and she was replacing it with work, which could be productive and proactive and also make her successful. And with Candace,
she's replacing it with stuff.
It's just stuff on more stuff, and the show.
She's like, I need a bigger house to buy more stuff and put in.
Right. She doesn't have a plan, and Robin probably doesn't have a plan, but Robin is trying, and she knows what's good and right. And Robin also came from having new money and then losing it, so Robin knows what it's like to be poor
a TED Talk. You're gonna die.
Erica Jane
by Kelly Catrone. I love Kelly Catrone.
Oh my God. I just tilted my head so far. It's now like turned in a circle.
But she said something where she was like, I went to nursing. I love her. I support all of her monsterhood.
People's evolution.
She went to nursing school, became a nurse, realized what? That she hated that. Came to New York and was like a party girl.
For people?
Yeah. She that openly is, says she was like,
that's so surprising.
She saw someone sick and she was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
She came to New York, became a party girl, then got into publicity as like a lower level entry at a PR firm, realized that like she couldn't deal with like being told what to do. So she started her own firm, was super unhappy, became like a tarot card reader in Santa Monica, then became a very successful tarot card reader.
You know what? Actually, I said that one, and then I immediately was like, I would 1,000% go to her. And I've
100%.
Never been to
someone. Yeah, 1,000%. And so she was making like $1,000 a day reading tarot cards over the phone.
Oh my God, someone tell Robin, buy a pack of cards.
And so she took that money and started People's Revolution. And she was like, it wasn't until I realized who I was and that it was a blend of all of those people and a blend of all of those things on top of new stuff that I learned, that I realized that like my identity as a publicist, I'm comfortable in it now.
Ugh.
And my identity as like an entrepreneur is how I have to live my life,
because
I know who I am.
To watch that,
it's so good, and it's really good. And I look at Candace and she's completely the opposite. I don't think she has any idea who she is. I don't think she has any idea who she is without money, without stuff, without being a housewife or Chris's wife or a new young whatever. I just don't think she knows who she is. And you look at Monique and Giselle and Robin, and these are women who know who they are, but Candace just doesn't. And she And yet she finds the time to read everybody else's like bullshit. And it's like, people in glass houses maybe shouldn't throw stones at Ashley Darby.
I totally agree with you. And it's just making me think of Katie, too, when you're talking about people in glass houses, because Katie Ross is like throwing stones and she's throwing the
glass houses with no air conditioning.
But that's the thing, is like glass houses with like a really unstable foundation, and her wigs are so scary to me, because I'm like, she doesn't look together. She, because
they were at that fundraiser and they didn't know what it was for.
I mean, that Katie's actually like, was
my mom invited I don't know,
kids, poverty, poor children. Poor Katie. I love so much of what Katie's saying, and then she says stuff like online where I'm like, oy vey, I don't know that I believe you. I don't know that you believe you.
She seems like a fairly intelligent and intuitive person.
Yes.
Who's also really deeply ill and like going through it.
Yeah.
And that is a person we've seen on these shows before. Like Kim Richards would say things occasionally under her breath.
This is the meanest thing you've ever said about Katie Ross. Do not compare her to Kimberly Richards.
Sometimes Kim would say things under her breath and then they would come true like two seasons later, or they would be
she
like
had that sober season. Yeah,
she would see through somebody's bullshit because she'd been through so much shit. She could diagnose what was going on with you. But she was so unwell that nobody wanted to listen to her or spend any time with her. And Katie, I think it's like she'll be in a party store in like a crazy wig that's half up with like her pants off, staring off into space. And she'll go, Michael Darby's a predator and Ashley's just using her father's situation to cover up for that. Anyway, and you're like, get it together because you're smart.
And she'll say, is Michael gay? Whereas everybody else is like, how are you feeling?
She'll just straight up be like,
Katie's like,
so he's gay.
Can I just ask you, do you think that Michael Darby is gay?
I think he's probably bisexual, and he gets the thrill of it being a secret and pushing boundaries, and that's super unhealthy.
Do you think it's a thrill, or do you think it's through fear? He gets excited about the fear.
Yeah, I think it's an adrenaline rush to be like, I could get caught.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have empathy for other people because this has gone on for so long that I think he's just metastasized into a predator. I genuinely think this, and sue me. And I worry because he's so deep into it that he's not going to pull himself out. And Ashley does not seem to have diagnosed that or understand that at all. And I think it's going to take him repeating this in bigger and bolder ways, which is going to happen. I think it's going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, if he attacked a member of production, that's not like, a great indicator that he's trying to hide this in any way while filming.
Yeah.
He groped that man while he was holding a working camera.
Yeah, I think this is going to get worse.
He's getting close to the fire.
And then Ashley's going to be like, well, I'm out of my contract. And I also think Ashley needs to work a little bit in therapy on stuff with her dad and like, or stuff with men. And maybe that will clue her in better. I think Ashley can come out of this at some point. But at the moment, she's not the person that will ever like.
Whose marriage do you think is going to last longer? Candace and Chris or Ashley and Michael Darby?
Candace and Chris by default, because Ashley and Michael. I think Ashley and Michael are going, this is going to get worse and worse over the course of the next 2 or 3 years until it is a full on contentious divorce thing. And it's going to be very complicated. She's going to have multiple stories of what happened and how it happened and what she's divorcing him over. And it will never make sense to us because she's never going to tell us the flat out truth. The thing with Chris is I think he's going to keep trying to fix her for as long as she will allow him to do that. And
that's
at some
a good point, as long as she will allow him to do that. That's a very
point,
good point.
She will decide she wants more money that her mom isn't giving her and that Chris isn't giving her. And she'll find someone who can give her more money and she'll stop allowing him to try to fix her. And he is a well-intentioned, nice person who sees good things in her and he will keep trying to fix her. And it is dark, but it can go on a little bit longer than the Michael and Ashley thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like they're both destined to fail for different reasons. Like Michael Darby wants to have sex with men,
but
or at least
feels
embarrass
like,
his wife.
One feels like things aren't going well and we're not entirely happy, but we're in a sustainable place. The Darbys just look like chaotic evil. Like anything could happen at any moment.
And now they have a fucking baby.
A baby. That is
and
like.
And she's going to want that baby to have a relationship with its dad because she knows what it was like to not have a father present in her life.
And he's going to get farther and farther away because he seems to really react to being like tied down.
I've heard a lot of people contact me and say that they think that they're like secret swingers or that they think that Ashley knows. I think maybe she knows on a deeply, deeply, deeply subconscious level, but
I
do
think
not
they
think
could
that
have
she's
done pillow talk where he's like, I can be attracted to men. Like I can see why a man's
I see,
handsome.
I
could have a threesome
all.
With another dude and you maybe. And then he's talked around it in a way.
Yeah. But I don't think he's been explicit.
It's like wink, wink.
Yeah.
I
agree with you. I
don't think he's like, I'm a bisexual. I don't think he has
right,
the
and I don't think
capacity
they've had,
to
I don't
do
think
that.
They've had threesomes with men.
No. I don't think he has the capacity to do that, but I think he thinks that he's,
yeah, because he would have to know
he's
himself.
Hinted at it enough right. that if he slipped, it wouldn't be a big deal. But I think that's not true of Ashley, but it's true in his brain.
I'm honestly so uncomfortable when I watch the scenes of like him with Juan and him with like the other, because I feel like
he
they're being
lecherous.
Forced to interact with him.
Yeah,
he's
lecherous. He's
gross and he's flirty in a way that I have never seen him with his wife. And when they like went to sushi and he was like, oh, you look like you worked out. That is nowhere near as, true and honest seeming from him as whenever he talks to Juan about literally anything.
He comes alive like a child. Like he looks like a little boy who just like was on Christmas morning. He's like, oh, hi Juan, what are we talking about? And I'm like, oh god, it's just so uncomfortable and gross. And like, it's not fair to your wife, it's not fair to Juan, it's not fair to Robin, it's not fair to the poor cameramen who are like, keep a wide berth.
Can you imagine what it's like to show up to work
no.
knowing that
nope.
that's how he
I would
that's
quit.
Unbelievable. Well, that's what the cameraman did. I who knows what kind of settlement may have taken place, but he definitely quit production.
Ugh.
So sad.
Anyway.
You know what's not sad? Having you on AG.
Aww.
Tell the people.
Well, before we go, I also just want to say
oh, yeah?
if Shep
I'm
could
amazing.
Leave the homeless of New York alone, that would be great.
I
just want to throw that out there before
I
leave.
Lost my mind online and used like every because the problem with Shep is it's not just that he harassed a woman online and posted it and his reasoning was she laughed at one time while she's trying to hide her face and then he's DMing viewers who are like why are you posting video making fun of a homeless woman collecting recycling so she can try to survive to live another day and he's like well if you're gonna he literally because someone screenshot it and essentially went viral within the Bravo community and he was like if you're going to have cans I should have the right to exploit that whatever
what are you talking
and
about
and he makes fun of and attacks Southern Charm fans and Bravo fans who are saying this is inappropriate behavior, who are adding Patricia into the threads correctly. She has a lot to say about a lot of other people, including Ashley. She doesn't have a fucking thing to say about this because it's too close to home. Tagging Andy, tagging Bravo correctly. And he's like, I won't apologize. Go fuck yourself. Oh, I'll do
it's
therapy.
It's real rich for him to judge a homeless person when his money comes from his fucking mailbox.
1,000%. And then Bravo, he's like, it's so funny, you're gonna send me to the principal's office. Bravo 1,000% has a conversation with him, and he says, I'm gonna go away and think. I didn't mean anything when you 100% did, because that was the total point of posting that video and then answering people in a very specific, consistent way. And then Bravo has a conversation, he posts the thing, and he's like, I'm gonna step away from a little bit. But what he meant was stepping away from Twitter, because on Instagram he's still posting photos of him with like little Craig, the little cute little puppy whose daddy is bad. His daddy is a bad, bad man. Like,
who seems to have some severe substance issues that.
And severe anger issues.
That I was going to say trigger his deep wells of anger and his deep insecurities, and he takes it out on other people, and it is getting worse and worse. The way he treats Craig is probably how he was treating a random homeless woman that he came across. It's so revolting and stomach turning.
And it's a joke to him that comes from a place of rage, and he's gotten away with so much. We all got distracted by T-Rav, but the problem is what he did to Chelsea and what he did to all of those women who all talk about the fact that he's made all of them cry during the episodes and on the after show. What he's doing to poor fucking Madison LaCroix is
Madison! When he was like, you're white trash, like you should be in a honky-tonk bar.
You're a white trash hairdresser. Like, yeah.
Fuck you. Who the fuck are you?
At least
who
she has a job.
Who the fuck is Shep?
At least she has a job, like, and
what
works.
Has he accomplished besides being on television?
He has done absolutely nothing, and the television needs to be
like,
taken
tan
away.
Tan mom's been on television, Shep. You're not that far above.
He needs to go off the show, and I actually thought about this to myself. Like, could the show survive? And I really think it could.
Yep.
There will always be someone crazy and someone rich and someone blind.
The
that
only
can
person
him.
I think maybe the show couldn't survive losing is and maybe this Craig? Is controversial. It's Craig.
No, that's not controversial. That's
he's
accurate.
The Giselle of the show.
He is so he wishes he was Giselle.
I'm joking.
Pillow talk. I think that as I stroke this pillow on this couch, so
pretending
good.
It's
so
hair.
Fuzzy. I'm so into it. Yeah, I totally agree.
Anyway, sorry, I wanted
Shep
to throw that
canceled,
out there.
But AG isn't, at least not yet. Ryan, tell the people how to follow you online.
They can find me at Ryan Houlihan on Instagram and Twitter. I have a new podcast, which is called The Lost Episode.
Ooh.
It is a show where we improvise or new original episodes of television classics that you know and love, like a time travel episode of Friends or a musical episode of Mad Men.
Love that.
And this Tuesday morning, I will be dropping with Carrie O'Donnell, who does the Sexy Unique podcast occasionally. We did The Real Housewives of New York in the apocalypse.
Yes.
And it is an hour and a half long. And when I say it is my greatest work, like, it is all thanks to Carrie O'Donnell's genius brain. It's really good. So please go check that out.
Please go check that out. Your greatest work, aside from every time you're on Andy's Girls, obviously. Guys, go to the show. Buy your tickets now. They're $10.
Littlefield.
Yeah, go to Ryan, at Ryan Houlihan, or you can go to littlefieldnyc.com, I think is what it is. And you can hop on those tickets. I can't wait to see you. Tell us if you're coming. We're going to post a throwback photo because neither of us want to show you what
our
we look
faces
like.
At the moment. We're looking real Gina.
God, I really am. And I wash my hair. Okay. Twitter at Sarah Galley, Instagram at Dame Galley. I love when you post nice, lovely 5-star reviews on iTunes, because those are in no way triggering, unlike some of you that post not nice things. So if you haven't taken a second to show me a little bit of love on iTunes, would appreciate it. Want to hear your thoughts on Potomac and OC. Rest in peace, Beverly Hills. Hope you're dead for at least several months. But this episode was totally alive and I loved it.
I love you.
Love you. Okay, bye guys. Tell us your thoughts and feels and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.